Well, good evening and welcome to week 10 of Stop and Live with Jane Vandross. I was just saying to Jane earlier, I can't believe we're at week 10. It's very exciting. This is Massage Therapy Radio's weekly program. My name is Scott Dartnell, and I'll be your host. Thank you for joining us. Stop and Live is about living in the present and being conscious of how our thoughts and emotions can attract positive outcomes. Our goal is to guide listeners to a new level of consciousness through awareness of our higher self and our connection to others. Learn to be in the present and develop your intuition. Be guided by Jane Vandross, Reiki Master and Intuitive Healer, to use the talent you have within you. I would like to introduce my friend, colleague, and spiritual advisor, Jane Vandross. Welcome, Jane.
Hi, Scott. Happy to be here. How are you this evening?
I'm very good, Jane. As I say every week, I start off every broadcast. I look forward to this time we spend together every Thursday evening. Thank you for being available.
It always proves to be interesting.
No, I know it will be. For our listeners, for those who are on our broadcast page listening over live streaming audio, you can contribute your questions and comments in the Q&A box on the bottom left of the broadcast page. For those listening over the phone, please feel free to email questions for Jane at your convenience. You can email them to me, Scott, at massagetherapyradio.com. And now I'd like to turn it over to Jane.
Well, Scott, we are going to do a different show tonight, aren't we? Instead, it's not to mean that we're not going to do questions from viewers, but tonight we're going to do something a little different. We're still going to hold on to the questions that people have sent in and questions that people will send in, and we'll contribute them to next week's show. But tonight we're going to do something a little different. We're going to talk about the power of numbers. And I believe we're going to begin by, Scott, you were going to share the affirmation that we have for tonight.
I was. Give me one second, Jane. I'll get back to that. I'm sorry, go ahead.
That affirmation was from Viktor Frankl. Was that not correct?
Yes, it was. And actually, you put me on to that because we had, how did that topic came up? It came up in one of us, our previous broadcasts. About
when we were talking about freedom and free will.
That's right. That's right. And I didn't realize I start looking for affirmations, how many affirmations there are from Viktor Frankl. And what a fascinating person. The affirmation for this week is, when we are no longer able to change a situation, we are challenged to change ourselves. And I was looking at another affirmation that was kind of more in kind of what we were looking for the show, and I came across that, and it struck me. It really hit me because I found that I'm kind of going through changes in my life, and, you know, what's the definition of insanity when you try the same thing over and over again and you get the same result and you're surprised?
That's right.
And so I've been kind of going through a process where I realized that maybe the only way I can change my environment is to change myself. So it really struck me. So it was very timely for me, and I was happy that I had the opportunity to pick that one for sure.
Well, I know for me when I hear that affirmation, I can't help but think of a small scenario when we think of people who were perhaps diagnosed with an illness, or they have a handicap. So they might have been, you know, living their life one way, and then all of a sudden they're hit with a handicap or some life-changing situation. And even though I haven't been, you know, God forbid, diagnosed with an illness or you know, somewhat of certain handicaps in that a matter of speaking, I can still try and relate as to what they might feel like everyone else. I'm sure feel trapped, and you feel all of a sudden as though you're not in control of your life, and perhaps they may feel like they want to give up because that life does not hold the same meaning to them. And in times like these, some people find the inner strength all of a sudden, you know, within them, the courage to adapt and change their attitude. And like Viktor Frankl says, you know, when we're no longer able to change a situation, such as I mentioned, then we're challenged to change ourselves. So therefore, we change the attitude, and they find perhaps an inner faith in themselves that may never have been recognized before. And within that faith, they may feel a piece of feeling of peace when they choose to accept their new set of circumstances and adapt to their new way of life. Perhaps they need to change their diet, or they need to decide to change their views or their beliefs, or maybe their career or way of living. Just for me, I would think that they begin to believe in this new life philosophy, and they may like take on a new meaning of vitality and hope, and then be able to reaffirm this new way of life, which sometimes can be a blessing in disguise. And I imagine in life it truly depends on what and where your perceptions lay as to how you're going to react and adapt in the situation. I know for myself, situations that I've had with myself, or I've played a part of witnessing or being a part of someone else's change in their life, I've been able to kind of look back and, as I said before, see how situations that may appear not to be to our liking then, and then we can see it being given as golden opportunities to grow into ourselves and understanding ourselves more better and getting to know our spirit on a deeper level. I believe for myself that it's these so-called challenging situations can assist us in truly feeling inspired. And then when we are in spirit, then we truly do know ourselves. And I have known some people who have had challenging experiences, especially my mother with her stroke, and I've had clients that come to me with challenging experiences as well. And I know through them what I've witnessed and experienced, a huge inspiration in how they adapt and find this new inner strength, and sometimes even come back and say, you know, my life is even more profound and happier and at peace than it ever was before. So it truly can be a disguise in many ways, and help us to grow spiritually.
And certainly, lots of times, I mean, there's so much to being in the present, and there's also with Viktor Frankl, as he describes that you do need to look to the future and set goals. That's what kind of helped him work through those terrible years in the concentration camp that he was in, that he had plans, he had goals, he had aspirations that he wanted to achieve. And he really felt that that was part of his, you know, focusing on his daily survival was key, but also focusing on what his future plans were key to his being able to make it every day, to push through these terrible things he was experiencing. And that's why I told you, I was kind of, as I was looking at these things, I was kind of playing around with that, with like a little affirmation myself, and kind of putting something together, and the idea that, you know, every day is a gift. Enjoy the present. And I think it's so important, because people say, well, you know, you can't be successful unless you're planning for the future. But I think that if you're not successful on a daily basis on achieving the goals that you've set for yourself, or achieving even small goals, then, you know, the future, these future aspirations that you have, just, they won't come. So it really is important to be successful on a daily basis, which is like to appreciate where you are, appreciate your life, appreciate your health, your family, your friends, you know, I appreciate what I get to do for a living. I love what I do for a living. And, you know, I think these are, it's really important to step back. When we, sometimes we hear shocking things about people the same age as us or younger that are afflicted or about to pass on, you know, it kind of snaps us out of it and realizes that we're kind of sometimes focusing on almost like a, I don't know how to say it in the nicest way, but almost like a pity party. Sometimes we feel sorry for ourselves about little things that are happening in our lives, but really they're small things. We're sometimes focusing on the unimportant things, the as we talked about before, the urgent versus the important, these things that other people sometimes make urgent in our life, but they're really not important in our life. So I really, you know, working with you, you really helped me think about if, you know, not every moment of every day, you know, you might remember something from, but try and make something of every day that you have, because it's important.
That's for sure. That is for sure. Every moment, every day, especially with the kind of work that we do, I think we sometimes might take it for granted that we're given quite a few opportunities, maybe more than some, because of, like I said, what we do, because we draw in so many people that are in situations where they want to, you know, better themselves, and they're challenged and struggling, whether it be, you know, physically, emotionally, or mentally.
Yep.
Well, we hope tonight what we're going to share with everybody is going to help to inspire and empower them.
And it will.
Yes.
Someone will be.
So did you want to start talking, we can talk, since it's about power of numbers, do you want to start and talk a little bit about numerology?
Sure.
Okay. Well, just to start off for people, I mean, numerology is getting more well-known out there, so a lot of people know numerology, but for just those who might not, it is a study of the symbolism of numbers. And there's each number 1 to 9, and there's also 11 and 22, which are master numbers, and they represent one large area of human awareness and experience. The master numbers represent a special higher level of potential than the other numbers. Using the numerology, you can discover a person's strengths and weaknesses. You can discover their talents, emotional reactions, deep inner needs, and ways of dealing with others. The universe actually seems to have provided many keys, which when we understand, we can these keys can provide superb tools for the understanding of human nature. Now, numerology can be traced back over 10,000 years. It is centuries old. It was the Hebrew Kabbalah. That's actually been known to do with numbers over the centuries. And also in Greece, some 2,600 years ago, it's even been credited with giving this field new life with the oracle. And as I said before, is numerology has been around for a long time, and the more that you do put numerology into practice in your day-to-day life, you will find that your awareness of the universe and its structures significantly broaden. Now, for tonight, what we were talking about doing was bringing in a little bit about certain numbers in numerology and symbolizing the career patterns with people who have those numbers and what careers might be beneficial for them to choose. And also, we were going to discuss some health areas pertaining to the numbers that people might experience or they might be sensitive towards. So, Scott, how would you like to, you know, just think of, you know, a number, and you can, you know, mention a number, and I can give you a career attachment to it and also to do with health. I'll put that in your hands.
Okay, so...
so you can choose 1 to 9.
1 and 10?
Well, you can use 1, you use 1 to 9. We're going to use 1 to 9 tonight.
Okay.
1 to 9 and 11 or 22, which are two master numbers.
Okay. So let's use 5.
We'll do 5. Okay, well, when we talk about the 5 number to do with the career, it's actually a very strong vibration number for travel. So any job that you find that you are able to travel and enjoy yourself due to the adventurous type of the five, and considering fives tend to get bored easily, that this would work well, very well for them. The fives also have many, many contacts through their workforce, and they tend to do well dealing with the public. They are a very good salesperson. They have strong administrative abilities. They gather information and can do many things all at once. And they really, if they use their strong qualities in bringing people together, their career will really soar. Now, to do with the five and to talk a little bit about the health, well, with the five number, it tends to draw in energetically around the reproductive area and the sexual organs. So they have to be aware of how they use their energy. And also movement and coordination is also involved with the five, and also to do with their thyroid and their adrenal glands. There's some info about the five.
That's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Do you
know any fives?
Now, how do we figure out exactly? Can we use one example here? Do you mind?
No. Nope.
You know, actually, we got one question that we did have earlier. It was from my friend Marianne, who sent us some really wonderful questions. And she goes, "Hi, Scott and Jane. Awesome show. Thanks for the helpful and meaningful information. Last week you asked for birth dates. Mine is October 9th, 1966. Looking forward to this week's program. Take care." So what could we tell Marianne about that date?
Okay. Well, what's funny about Marianne, what you just said, we just talked about it. I asked you, do you know any fives? And then now you just said, yes,
I do.
So
that is five. Okay.
I'm telling you, Scott, what are we going to do with this intuition that lies within you so strongly?
Oh, my goodness.
You're playing one step ahead all the time. So that was perfect. That is information right from Marianne. Now, how you get that is actually October 9th, 1966. So we would add up 1966. Now, when we add up the 1, the 9, the 6, and the 6, you get 22. So therefore, you would add the 22 with the 9, which is the day that she was born. So now we have 31. So then you would add October. So now we have 41. So what happens is you break that down to a single digit. So now we have five.
Interesting. I did not know. Now I know.
Did you know another number just by guessing, or is it perhaps you might know somebody's number specifically?
No, I just picked that number. I don't know why I picked five, actually.
Well, did you not say, did we not do on the show your wife's number? And she was a four, was she not?
Hers is July 23rd, 1963.
And she was a four. So we can talk about your wife behind her back. Okay. So when we talk about the number four, we're actually looking at to do a strong service. She likes to be of service to people. She also has strong abilities to do with administrative. She's also considered a very hard worker. She is a very strong work vibration. She likes to get her hands dirty. She also has a strong scientific mind and also would make an excellent teacher. And as I said before, she has very strong administrative abilities. Now, when we discuss her health, there are some sensitivities around the jaw, and there are some sensitivities around the shoulders and the back, a little bit with the torso and the hips, the elbows, the knees, and the bottoms of the feet. So she should come and get reflexology from you.
She should.
Now, it shows joints. A lot to do with joints, so possibility for injuries or arthritis to the body. Doesn't mean that that's going to happen. This is just showing energetically, depending how she uses her energy.
Well, I'll tell you, it's like my wife is an extremely hard worker.
Mm-hmm.
She's very organized. She's one of those people that leaves notes everywhere. Kind of drives me crazy. She has a day timer and she lives by that.
Well organized.
Oh, absolutely. She, you know, of course, she works in healthcare. She also teaches at the university here at McMaster University. Her job, the way they do cardiac ultrasound, you're kind of leaning over and on top of the person that's doing it, and she does complain of a lot of joint pain, shoulder pain, neck pain, back pain. So that's extremely accurate. Funny, when I got home tonight from work, talking about getting her hands dirty, she was out painting our deck. So she's very busy that way. And from service, the service area, she does volunteer a lot. She's always, if someone's retiring or leaving her department or whatever, she's always the person that's kind of organizing a get-together or making food or whatever. So that's certainly very, very accurate, Jane.
Oh, I know that the numerology is so, so deep into the psyche of people, like so deep into their personality, into their soul, into their life purpose. It's amazing. I mean, that's what attracted me to the numbers to begin with, because I love information. And as much information as I can get, the better.
Wonderful. Well,
did you have one more number you want to do before
we
go on?
I like to do my sister's, which is July 31st, 1960.
1960? Okay, she's a nine. Okay. So when we talk about the nine, she's very, very strong to do with humanitarian goals. She likes to share with others. She's a very, very strong teacher and healer. So that doesn't mean necessarily that she has to be in the teaching field or in the healthcare field. Everything she does in her day-to-day life, she's always teaching and always healing within herself and within other people. She also possesses a global outlook on life. She also likes to travel. So her global outlook in life and traveling is very, very strong, and also a very, very strong spiritual path that she's a seeker and that she wants to go out and find her inner truths for herself. She would be good to do as a lawyer. She can be considered a perfectionist. So anything that has to do with a lot of detail. She also could own her own business as well. Now, to do with areas, to do with the health for the number nine. Because she's your what you consider your evolutionary health code, she can choose what she needs to work on in this lifetime. So because she's a nine, she can choose for herself what she wants to work on within her body. But also, because of that she's a evolutionary health code, she can also have it, though, that her life purpose and her soul urge actually can choose on a deeper level that perhaps maybe there isn't anything that she wants to work on to do with the health as well, that she can, you know, be pretty healthy within herself, that her vibrations are pretty active and pretty high frequency. So she doesn't have to necessarily be working on a lot of health issues. Mm-hmm. And if she does, she can choose what she wants to work on at a subconscious level.
Hmm.
She sounds like an interesting lady.
She is. If she was my wife, she'd be my better half. She is an extremely, extremely good person. And she's in healthcare. She's actually a dental hygienist, but she's an extremely patient person. Really difficult to get her upset. She's actually having a great second half to her life. She's remarried with a great guy, and they've started to do quite a bit of traveling, and she's loving it. So her life is quite happy. On the perfectionist thing, it was hard having her as an older sister because she was the one. Oh, you're Lori's brother. She's always exceptional in school. perfect handwriting. She's a great cook. She's very meticulous about the things that she does, how she does something, whether it's making a cake or printing or writing her name. She's meticulous about things like that. Now, she isn't as meticulous as you used to be as most people. You know, once you put a couple kids and a dog and a husband in a house, you can't be quite as meticulous as you used to be. But she's still quite that way in some ways. As my mom used to say, my house is clean enough to be healthy and messy enough to be happy. Right, so somewhere along that way.
That's a good affirmation to live by.
Yes, exactly.
Now the next part of the program that we had talked about, Scott, that we wanted to share with the viewers, and that is there seems to be a phenomenon, and it's not something that's just been happening. It's been going on for quite some time, where people are recognizing and seeing repetitive numbers. And one of the first and foremost that people seem to be seeing, or at least starts people off, and that's with seeing either 111 or 1111. So especially on digital clocks. So people are noticing that they keep feeling drawn to look at the clock right at the time that it says 111 or 1111, whether it's p.m. or a.m. Now, that seems to be something, as I said, that a lot of people have been experiencing, and there's been a lot of people asking, okay, what's going on? Why is it that we're feeling so drawn like a magnet? What's this phenomena all about? Have you witnessed anything like that, Scott, or heard anybody mention or talk to you about that? It might be other numbers.
You know, it's funny. We've had this conversation before when we talk about, you know, you buy a blue car and then you start to see more blue cars,
mm-hmm.
and you never really noticed them before. And
mm-hmm.
it's the same thing when you start to be more conscious of what you're doing and where you are and what you're seeing, you start to see things. You start to see repetitiveness there. And you know, I'm changing the topic really quickly, but I had this conversation with you earlier about where we were, you know, you brought up the topic of power animals, and I had never heard that. I never
mm-hmm.
wasn't familiar with that. And we were talking about that, and I said, you know, horses always seem to have that significance to me. And I told you I was driving by the house of a friend of mine who's very, very ill. And unfortunately for her, time here is not long for her. And I drove by, and on her garage she had this flag with a horse on it. And I thought, I drive by their house every day, and I swear I'd never seen that before. And I'm sure it wasn't new, but not to change the topic. That was significant to me because you had talked about that, where you'll start to see that animal, you start to see that repetitiveness that you didn't notice before. When it comes to numbers, sure, there's certain combinations that. I had this thing where it always seemed like I looked at the clock at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I used to think, well, maybe the batteries are tight. It always seemed to be strange, like during the day, that it would be that time that I would look at the clock.
Mm-hmm.
And I always found that very, you know, at the time, at first it didn't really ring with me or wasn't significant to me, but over time it was like, you know, am I meant to look at the clock at that time, or is it I can't finish with people exactly at the same time because I don't always start at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So I found that really interesting. Time wise for me, I always say to you, it's about 3 o'clock every day where I feel it's nighttime for me, and I don't know why. I feel like my body wants to shut down at 3 o'clock every day. And it doesn't matter whether I got up at 9 o'clock or I got up at 5 o'clock. It seems to be that time for me. So that three is significant to me, I guess.
Well, I know they say that 3 o'clock even in the morning when you wake up at 3, and I've had this numerous times myself, between 3 and 3:30, And they say that's the witching hour. So maybe that's for females, and 3 o'clock in the afternoon is for sorcerers.
I'm not sure.
And wizards.
But I know today was a significant day because I told you I've been really trying to concentrate on my physical health. You know, mm-hmm. I've been working on my nutrition and you know, I'm working on a number of different areas. So I've been getting up really early to run. So today I actually ran out of steam, and I went into one of the rooms, and they had a zero gravity chair there, and I laid down on that and woke up, had the most tremendous little nap. And I never do that during the day, never. And it was like today I just couldn't fight it. I was actually on the phone with somebody discussing something important, which always wakes me up, keeps me alert, and I just couldn't battle through it. And I thought, like, why am I battling through it? Why not just, you know, let my body do what it needs to do, close my eyes for 15 minutes, and then be awake and aware and conscious and contribute afterwards, instead of trying to fight what my body apparently needed to do. So I just, yes, I haven't got used to getting up at 5:30. That's what time we're getting up at, because my wife starts early. So we get up and we're running together in the morning trying to motivate each other. So I don't have to get up that early, but she needs to get up. So that's what time we work out. So what about you, Jane?
That's a long day.
It is, but mm-hmm. I mean, I find that when it comes to fitness, it's one of those things that I've got to do first thing in the morning or I don't do it. So what about your number that you're seeing, Jane?
Pardon me?
What do you see number-wise during the day?
Well, I'm drawn a lot to the ones, and I'm drawn a lot to a few different numbers too, like threes and the fours and that, which I'm going to elaborate. And what I was mentioning when we were talking about the ones, and that when you were saying about even to do with the power animals and the horse, mm-hmm. that actually has to do with like the law of attraction too, what you focus on expands. So that definitely plays a part in it as well. I think what the phenomena is, how it began with the ones, is that people were not really thinking that they were thinking of the ones. Do you know what I mean? It's like they were drawn to start looking and seeing these ones. So that's, I think, what kind of pulling people in another direction, thinking, okay, you know, I can understand when I'm focusing on something, and then now I've expanded my awareness, and now I'm seeing it more frequently because that's where my attention's going. But when you're not thinking of that originally, and then you ask, why were you drawn in it to begin with? Do you see what I mean?
Yes.
Yeah. So that's what I think, why people started thinking this is a phenomena. So, I mean, there's many people around the world that have been seeing these numbers. And it's like something like out of the movie Close Encounters of the Third Kind. Do you remember that movie?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
I love
when people
that movie.
They were making those shapes, the two tower things. It was supposed to be like devil towers or something.
That's right.
And that was where where they climbed up in the mountain, and over top it was at the government station where the UFO had landed.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, everybody around, you know, around that area were starting to, you know, like see and draw and think of these symbols. So it's like kind of like, well, you know, where did it come from? We weren't thinking of that before, and now it's, you know, in mass numbers. So, I mean, for me, I was seeing the 111 quite a few years ago, and it began by continuously waking up at, you know, either 11:11, but most often it was 1:11 in the morning. And I kept thinking, like, what the heck? You know, I mean, you start to think there's, you know, not going insane necessarily, but close to it. You're thinking, like, this is really bizarre. You know, it is a bizarre feeling because you're not expecting it, and you weren't thinking, like I said, of those sort of numbers. So it was a little bizarre. But as I said, people say that they feel like it's like a magnet. It's drawing them, you know, into looking at the clock. Now, there's a few different people say different things about it. And there's Doreen Virtue, which I'm a huge fan of her and her books. And she's an author, and she writes about communicating with angels. And she says that the angels use numbers to communicate with us. And she's got wonderful books. There is Healing with the Angels by Doreen Virtue, and also Angel Numbers. Now, she says that the 111 is a golden opportunity. It's like a doorway that's opened up in which your goals and dreams will manifest extremely quickly. So when you see the 111 or 1111, then focus on your thoughts and your intentions and what you want. It's kind of like, kind of visualize like you're blowing out the candles on a birthday cake and make a wish. And then there's also a man called Uri Geller. And he has a lot of websites on the computer about the 111 sequence that you might want to look up. Just put in Uri Geller, which is URINGELLER, and you get a lot of information. He's also an author as well and a speaker. And his theory is that when we see the 1111, that he tends to look at it as it is a time for prayer. So what he does is he prays for sick children and for world peace. And he believes that people who consistently see these numbers have some type of positive mission to accomplish. And he suggests that you reflect on whatever it is that you're doing for a moment and look closer at the divine interactions and notice what it is that you're being told. You know, take a look around you. Open up your awareness. Expand your imagination and take in your surroundings and see what's really happening. He also says it can be a doorway, like a crack between two worlds, between earth and spirit. And it can be like a bridge that's linking together two very different spirals of energy. He says it can also be like an activation to your awareness. A spiritual awakening is into synchronicity. So the next time you see those numbers, he suggests that you feel the subtle energies around you. And a lot of times people will find seeing these numbers, the 111s or 1111, more frequently is when they're having times of personal change. So is that something else to look for and think of as well? Now, for the 111 for me personally, I believe as well is that these numbers are a way to awaken us to the power we have within, you know, our spirit, to assist us in remembering our own abilities and gifts, and getting us to understand that, you know, we're one being, and then we understand this one being through expanding our awareness. And I truly believe that with these numbers is showing us that we're the masters of our own creation. Now, there's when we extend now over Dorian Virtue to do with angel numbers, a lot of people are seeing consecutive numbers. So I'm not sure if maybe you've seen or you know of this yourself too, where they might see consecutive twos or consecutive threes or fours, that sort of thing.
Well, you know, this is more new to me. So I'm going to definitely be conscious of this in the future when people, you know, so many times that you're certainly more attuned to it, but I'm talking to people every day. And sometimes they may say something to me, and I may just not be listening because it's something that I'm just not aware of. I haven't become attuned to it, but I'm certainly going to become more attuned to it, Jane.
I'm going to
pay attention.
Well, because your angels are trying to get your attention.
Yeah.
But usually when we, like anything, right, when we're educated on something, right, it expands.
Yeah.
Now, for to do with Dorian Virtue, as I said, the Angel Numbers book is really good. It has all the numbers in there, and what she believes is that angels communicate to her through the numbers, and as well as when we start learning the numbers, angels are able to communicate with us as well, because angels want to work with us all the time. But the thing is, they can't assist us unless we ask for their assistance. So this is a huge way that you can actually feel as though you can communicate with them one-on-one. And I remember having an experience once. I was dreaming and I was having a nightmare. And at that time, I had already in my life where, you know, if I was having any kind of concerns or fears and that, I would call on my angels to come and protect me and guide me. So I remember in my dream that actually within my dream, I started saying, angels, angels, you know, come and help me, come and help me. Oh, please come and help me. And I was like really scared. I can't even remember the nightmare I was having in my dream. But I remember calling on the angels because I literally woke myself up screaming, angels, help me. And just at that very time I woke up, I looked at the digital clock, and it said 4:44 in the morning. Now, what 4:44 represents with the angel book from Dorian Virtue is that thousands of angels surround you at this moment. Have nothing to fear. All is well. They are taking care of everything. Now, doesn't that give you goosebumps?
Yeah. I've never heard of that before.
Yeah?
I get that every week from you, though, Jane. I'm learning something new from you every week.
Well,
you're expanding my horizons.
It's, for me, it's a beautiful way to open up our senses, to use our intuition, to, I mean, it's for us to expand our connection and know that there's more to this world than just what we see with physical eyes.
Well,
and I've had numerous communications with the angels. I mean, that's part of my life work now over the last, you know, I would have to say probably 7 or 8 years. And so, I mean, I'm a firm believer in this. And what's interesting is I no longer, like in the beginning when I heard all this stuff, it was like, you know, like anything else that's new to you, it's like you want to share it with the world, right? You want to even tell people who aren't even interested. Now, that was my big lesson in life. Wait until people come to you. So after I realized that, that's what I do now, is people will come to me and start talking to me about this kind of thing. Rather than me go seeking for them, they'll seek me out, and vice versa.
Well,
so, I mean,
all
I just,
I've learned, Jane, is that we know, or the people, the really aware people or intelligent people will admit that we really know or aware of so little that goes on around us, that's going on in the world. And I don't mean actions of other people. I'm just saying what's going on within ourselves and our processes and just the universe around us. So, you know, every week when we talk, I expand my universe with you, and I always appreciate that. It's very good. It's very good.
Well, thank you.
We better wrap up the show. We're running a little bit late today. I wanted to talk to everybody. I'm gonna spring something on Jane here. Next week, as Jane and I talked, is going to be our last show for the summer. It's going to be week number 11, and we're going to start up again in September because Jane's going to be going away for a little while in July. And I'm going to be going for probably away for a little while in August. So trying to coordinate that may be a little bit difficult. But I just want to get into that before we close off with our affirmation for next week. Everybody's listening over live streaming audio. You'll notice on the broadcast page there's also a phone number on there. Next week, we're going to do the show, and it won't be right at the beginning, but partway through the show, I'm going to unmute the phones, and I'm going to have everybody who's listening introduce themselves, and if whether it's one person or 50 people, we're going to introduce everybody, and we'll try and add a comment or a question wherever we can as kind of like a little bit of a send-off for the summer. What do you think, Jane?
Sounds good.
Yeah.
That sounds good energy.
Yeah, I think it's going to be great energy. So instead of listening over the Internet, because it's about an 18-second delay with your Internet, with the audio over the Internet over as compared to the telephone. So dial in on with the phone. Our show's usually about 35 minutes long. About halfway through, I'm going to unmute the lines and ask everybody to introduce themselves. You'll see that if you go to the broadcast page, you have your player there, and you also have a phone number that you can call in on. Call in next Thursday. You can call in and listen over the phone at 10 p.m., probably about 10:15. We'll unmute the lines and ask everybody, their name, and maybe next week's a good time to everybody's listening. We can do their numbers for them or something. We'll figure out something. I'm just kind of going by the seat of our pants here a little bit right now, but we had talked about this before, but I think it's a great idea for our last show for the summer.
Well, it's interesting that it's our 11th show, 1-1.
Yeah, it is. Those are my numbers.
Yeah, but it's funny, too, that we're talking about the phenomena of 11, 1-11, 11-11, and then we choose 11th show to do something different. Very good.
And, yeah, right. Well, mine's 1-0 and 1-1. Yeah, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Exactly.
So it is significant. It wasn't planned either. We kind of had talked today that we were both kind of concerned with taking time off. How would we do it? So it's a good time to do it, and what we're going to be also doing is encouraging everybody to continue to send their questions in. I'll still get the questions, and they're going to help form our shows for September. But next week, we'll be back on the air on Thursday at 10 p.m. So I want to finish this week's show off with our next week's affirmation, which is from Gandhi, and I don't need to say any more about that, how important this individual is and on so many different levels. And the quote is, "An eye for an eye makes the whole world blind." And it's just such a powerful affirmation. To me, it speaks on so many different levels about turning a cheek, about loving their neighbor, about kindness, about that it doesn't one act of evil doesn't require another act of evil to balance it. It doesn't balance it. And there's just so many examples of people, like we can go back to Viktor Frankl, we can go back to Gandhi himself, of people that had experienced absolute horrors at the hands of other people, but reacted with peace. You look at Gandhi, really brought down the British Empire. That was pretty much the turning point of the British Empire, through peace, through peaceful demonstration. And then, of course, the next person to do that was Martin Luther King, both incredible people. So I'm very much looking forward to next week's show, Jane.
Very good, so am I.
And do you have any other comments or?
No, I'm good for tonight, and I've had a lot of fun, and I thank you and the listeners as well.
Yeah, it was. You know what? It was a great show tonight. Thank you again for always. I learn something every week. Things that I wasn't aware of, and I always appreciate that. And I'd like to thank our listeners tonight. We've had a great 10 weeks. Like I said, we will be continuing again come September. Next week, next Thursday, will be our final show for the summer. So please tune in halfway through. Please dial in at the number. You'll see the number at the on the broadcast page itself. Please dial in halfway through the show. We'll unmute the phones, and we'll be able to talk with everyone. So for Jane Vandress, my name is Scott Dartnell. Thank you for listening to Stop and Live on Massage Therapy Radio. Good night, Jane.
Good night, Scott. Good night, listeners. Have a wonderful week.
Thank you.
Thank you.